From Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, Brother George. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 32, Jesus Christ said, "Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven." The words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. Like the air above us, we cannot comprehend thee. Like the air within us, we cannot live without thee. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to you all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. It's so good to talk to you. Some listen all over America and the world on the internet. And so welcome to all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Our prayers go out to all of our neighbors to the north in that awful flooding, particularly in northeastern Iowa. Pat and I have some dear friends up there right now, Lana and Frank Halpin. I received an email from Lana on Friday, and she writes, "Once again, thank you so much for your prayers for our Iowa neighbors. The torrential rains have subsided, floodwaters are receding, and people all over the northeastern part of Iowa are cleaning up." So God's mercy to you all up there. From the Old Testament, from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, "Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." I read that passage because last Thursday was Juneteenth here in Texas. It's the day the black slaves got the news during the Civil War that they'd been freed by President Abraham Lincoln. "Anytime one of God's children is freed, it frees my soul too. We are all either free or we're in prison. There's no in between. There's no some are freed while others are not." Someday my prayer to God is that we all will be free. Today's Bible reading comes from the New Testament, the Gospel of the Good News of John, the Beloved, from the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was Jesus and not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, asked a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to her, 'Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, with his sons and his flocks drank from it?' Jesus said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming back here.'" That's our Bible reading today from John chapter 4. May God's mercy be upon us all, and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. There is a town with a population of about 12,000, about 180 miles west of Fort Worth on Interstate 20, that's called Sweetwater. It was named after the name of the creek that that is there, it has good sweet water as opposed to most of the creeks in that area that had gypsum in them, so they had undrinkable water. But the town of Sweetwater grew along the banks of the Sweetwater Creek. The Kiowa Indians called the creek Mobiti Creek, and sometimes you might hear the Sweetwater of old called Mobiti. And some of you may have heard of Sweetwater because of the annual rattlesnake roundup that they have out there in the first weekend in March. I mention this because today's sermon has to do with Sweetwater, and I don't want you to get to thinking that I'm talking about the town of Sweetwater, Texas. I want to aim my message today to the younger people listening in. I know that most of you more mature adults among us have already learned a thing or three about living. You live your lives with more efficiency. Efficiency, I guess, would be the word, although that's not exactly the truth sometimes. I suppose you, the mature ones, have seen enough of life to realize some of the mistakes that you made during your younger years. Santana said, "Those who do not remember the past are doomed to repeat it." I had a thought just the other day that went something along the lines of, to remember the past is to understand the present and hope for the future. Santana put it better than me, but you get the drift. We do get better as we age because we have made mistakes in our lives and we've learned from those mistakes. Those of you who are younger have not had the years yet to make those mistakes. And if I remember my days when I was in my later teens and early 20s, and I do remember them, I was bound and determined to make my own mistakes. That in itself is a mistake. Not to listen to the past when it's yelling danger to you is, well, it's immature. In the second chapter of Proverbs, we find this about wisdom spoken to the young. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his faithful ones. "Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Prudence will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. It will save you from the way of evil, from those who speak perversely, who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." That's from Proverbs, the second chapter. I can tell you from experience that not to listen to those with more wisdom and more experienced is to set yourself up for living a life of desperation, a life of being a desperado, and only a fool would rejoice in living a desperado's life. Henry David Thoreau said that most men lead lives of quiet desperation. But, and here's a word to those listening who are older but no wiser, he added this to the end, that they go to their graves with the song still in them. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation, and they go to the grave with the song still in them. Is Henry David Thoreau right? Do most of us, men and women, young and old, live lives of quiet desperation? And do most of us go to the grave with the song still in us? I don't know about others. I cannot get into their hearts and into their souls. I can only comment on my own human condition. I was desperate. I was a desperado when I was younger. I no longer am. I was seeking something good when I was younger. I have now found what I believe to be the ultimate good and have made a conscious decision to follow that ultimate good, and that is to follow Jesus Christ. Will I go to my grave with my song still in me? I think not. Every week I proclaim the gospel as a layperson, not as an ordained minister, but one like you, one from the pew. I proclaim to the world my belief in God, my belief in Jesus Christ, my belief in the Holy Spirit of God's love. Would this have made a difference in my younger life? Yes, very definitely it would have. I met Jesus Christ at an early age, but being the hard head that I was, I did not listen to the Holy Spirit that was speaking to my heart. I'm not talking about preaching. Not everyone is cut out to be in the pulpit of a church. But everyone called is cut out to be in their own pulpit to proclaim to the world that they do follow Jesus Christ in words, in action, in deeds. You don't have to be on the street corner with a Bible in one hand while the other hand is pointing to another sinner and you're preaching the words of Jesus Christ to them. No, it's sometimes not where you are, but where you aren't that's important. In my case, I wouldn't have been in a bar trying to fit in to be one of the good old boys. I wasn't drinking to forget anything. I wasn't drinking to remember anything. I was just drinking for show. Just to show the others that I was just like them, young and crazy. Let me tell you what crazy is. Crazy is following a man that you can't even prove ever existed, much less lived and then died, executed as a criminal and then raised from the dead after having been in his tomb for 3 days. That doesn't make sense. That's crazy. And add to that, that here's this man telling us that we have to love, not hate. That we have to forgive others when they do us harm, not remember and cut that person out of our lives forever. That's crazy. But that's the revolution. That's the change in the world. And the sooner you get started, the better. Whatever you do, don't wait until, like me, until you're 69 years old before beginning your ministry. Why? Because as we age, we begin to run out of energy. And energy is what we need to live. I talk sometimes with Pat about starting a brick and a mortar church. That is a church with a building with a real pulpit where we can all get together on Sunday morning, and then a Sunday worship service and maybe lunch on the grounds afterwards. And on Wednesday evening, we can get together to break bread together and study the Word of God, the Bible. And in between, I visit you in the hospital when you or a loved one is sick or injured. And I marry you. What a wonderful experience that would be to be the officiating preacher at a wedding. Or I preach over the dead and buried and comfort those left behind in your loss. But all that takes energy to do, and now that I'm 71, it is difficult. I'm past the age of retirement for most ministers, and I still have enough energy to preach twice a week, once on the radio and once at the nursing home. But here's the thing I want to pass on to you young people. The time to begin your life following Jesus Christ is now, not sometime in the future when you have the time off from your demanding job or you're having too much fun doing things like drinking to get drunk and spending the weekend in a bar. You're not being yourself. You're not being true to yourself. I have regrets. I wish that when I was stationed in Japan during my service in the Marine Corps that rather than going to a bar every weekend, I'd have climbed Mount Fuji at least once. The Japanese say that a fool never climbs Mount Fuji, and a bigger fool climbs it a second time. Maybe so, but I had the opportunity, and I foolishly didn't take it. I didn't have to be a follower of Jesus Christ to climb Mount Fuji, but if I had been following Jesus Christ at that time, or I had just matured a little more, I wouldn't have been looking for whatever I was looking for in a bar or any other time-wasting place. Whatever you're seeking that's good in life, that living water, that sweet water, you won't find it in those places. There is a saying, drinking the Kool-Aid, which means loosely to go over to the dark side of life. Remember, as we read in our Bible reading for today from Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, it will save you from the way of evil, from those who speak perversely, who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. You young man and young woman that are listening, you don't want to be friends. You don't want friends like that. And you don't want to be friends like that. You don't want to be like that. You want to be your true nature, and your true nature is good. This would be the opposite of drinking the sweet water that Jesus Christ had offered to that woman at that well in our Bible reading for today. Drink the Kool-Aid or drink the sweet water, the living water of Jesus Christ. We in the older generation have a responsibility. Indeed, it may be a duty to pass on to the younger generation, the Gen Xers and the lost generation, and all of you young people, some of the wisdom that we picked up over the years. But it also is a responsibility of you younger ones among us to listen and to act on what the older generation is saying about their wisdom that they have gathered like golden eggs throughout their lives. Now, I say wisdom, not politics. There is a political statement that goes, if you're not a liberal when you're young, and you don't have a heart. If you're not a conservative when you're old, you don't have a brain. I think that's hogwash. It intimates that as you grow, your duty is to accumulate things, and the more things you have in your life, the more you have to protect them. Life is not about getting things. Life is about giving love. The sweet water of life is about the giving of love. In our Bible reading for today of the story of the woman at the well, the exchange between her and Jesus went like this. Jesus Christ said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? She wants to know, where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? And Jesus Christ said to her, and Jesus Christ is telling all of us, young and old alike, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of life. A spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman at the well is changed, just as all of us who follow Jesus Christ are changed. Here is a quote from the website www.paragrapharmer.blogspot.com. Quote, of course Jesus is a catalyst for change. From Saul to Paul, from sinner to repentant, from fearful fishermen to bold fishers of men. It's all there. To miss that is a mistake, living water for a dead pool. Now, fortunately, you don't have to be Mark Twain to see the difference between a bird bath and a river. That's from www.paragrapharmer.blogspot.com. The question is not, will we be changed by this sweet water from Jesus Christ, this living water? Of course, we all will be changed. The question is, when? Thoreau said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation, and then they go to the grave with the song still in them. If we wait forever to seek this living water, then we do go to our graves with the song still in us. What a waste that is. What a waste that would be in your life. We don't have to live lives of quiet desperation, or loud desperation for that matter. There are men and women in jails all around our nation who have led lives of loud desperation and quiet desperation, and some of them may indeed go to their graves with their songs still in them. That's the tragedy about a wasted youth. That's the tragedy about a wasted life. We all seek something in life that is greater than us. We all seek that force that forgives and loves no matter who or where we are or even why we did what we did. When you understand that that force that I speak of is Jesus Christ at the well, and that we are all that woman, young and old, we are all that woman, then we drink of the sweet water of life, the living water of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. The Lord God that created the largest galaxy in the universe, who also created the smallest grain of sand, lovingly created me. The hands of the Lord God are here in my heart, and there in the sunshine. The Lord is everywhere there is good. My God is the warmth that holds and protects me when there is danger. My God is eternal, and I am just a wisp of smoke. But God created me forever ago, and forever he will let me live through his grace almighty. The Lord God's purity and love will cure the evil injustice that we humans do to God's creatures, God's creation, and God's other children. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, come into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God here on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still part of the evil and the sinful world, if you've never drank from that living water, you can change that right now. You can have God help you to hear the words of Jesus Christ. You can do that right now, right here on the radio, no matter what is in your past. And it can't be as bad as mine. You can become a follower of Jesus Christ now in the twinkling of an eye right here on the radio. You're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house doors those that may need God the most, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth. If your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, ask for forgiveness now. Pray with me right now. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but just pray with me right now, underneath your breath if you'd like to. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me. By learning to love those around me, save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Then Wednesday evening, find a church close by, no matter what denomination. And if you're physically able, you go there. Most churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays. That's the very best way to get to know God, by studying his word. And then next Sunday, go to church, any church, but go. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. You go to church, any church. Forget about denomination. And look for the love shining in the eyes of those churchgoers. That's a reflection of the basics of the love of Jesus Christ that is in their hearts and in their souls. You find a church, find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God for you, not an instrument of some political party, and find that one true church for you where you can meet other seekers of the love of God. No matter what is on the name, what is the name on the outside of a church, it's what's on the inside that counts. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home, perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can all have those fighting in wars go home safely. Good luck and Godspeed to you all. Hello to all of our shut-ins today at the Manor Care on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, where Pat and I will give the interdenominational worship services in 2 weeks from now. And all of you shut-ins joining us, no matter where you are, several of you listen to us on the Internet. Thank you so much. You are a blessing to Pat and me. I want to thank all of you who have sent us offerings to keep our Jesus Christ Said radio ministry on the air. Without you and your support, it would be impossible for us to keep going. We preach what Jesus Christ said to a hurting and a seeking world, those seeking that living water, that sweet water from Jesus Christ. Send your tax-deductible donation of any amount to the Jesus Christ Said Ministry. Post Office Box 162-712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song is a traditional spiritual, and the author is unknown. This is comes from the movie soundtrack of O Brother, Where Art Thou? Here today is Allison Krauss, backed up by the First Baptist Church Choir of White House, Tennessee, to sing Down to the River to Pray.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to as I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Good Lord, show me the way. Show me that living water to drink. Allison Krauss, Down to the River to Pray. Please pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In his name I pray. Amen. This is program number 824, titled Sweetwater. If you'd like a copy of this program, please write to us at the Jesus Christ Said Ministry, Post Office Box 162-712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying, thank you for listening, and God bless you.